Hi, folks. It's Jesse here. This is sort of a bonus episode for you. I had the opportunity to interview the sort of director, head filmmaker, let's say, and two of the actresses in an anthology film called Give Me an A, which basically, this is how they explain it, a warning for a future that could be. Give Me an A features 17 films created by 17 female filmmakers to recount the overturning of Roe v. Wade through a multi-genre lens. As the film is fully committed to address the attack on women's rights, all proceeds from the screenings will be donated to nonprofit organizations in their local markets. You can go to their website and learn about it, but I'm speaking to Natasha Halevi and Molly Quinn and the very, very sweet and lovely Jennifer Holland. I've never gotten to meet her before, and it's I love her work in Peacemaker. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoy. It's a short episode, but I felt like it was an important cause and something that's worth our time. So lovely ladies, if you'd please introduce yourselves and tell folks what your role is in this wild film, Give Me an A.
Yeah, sure. Hey, I'm Natasha Halevi. The most important thing I did on this film was bring a lot of really amazing creators together to share their emotions and feelings and thoughts and express and process and do that all through film. So that's the most important thing I did.
Solidly important thing, I would think.
Yeah. I also directed the wraparound and one of the pieces, but that's the people.
I got humans with you.
I got great people together. The people.
I'm Molly Quinn. I had the privilege to act in the short film directed by Megan Rosati called Plan C.
And I'm Jennifer Holland, and I was an actress in the segment DTF. And I think the most important thing I did on this project was give everyone some much needed like protein smoothies in the middle of our shoot when they needed some energy.
That's a big deal.
Everything else was just I was just a puppet.
I wouldn't say puppet. I think that if we all know anything, it's that films are hopefully one of the most collaborative things you can work on. And every single piece, every single part, especially the eating and drinking when not working, is extremely important. And any little bit makes a difference for everybody. So just before we hit record, I told you I watched this with my 1.5-year-old who, as I said, she has a lot of thoughts. I tell you, a lot of thoughts. Very few of them are English, but a lot of thoughts. It's just, we're all living in the twilight zone, it feels like right now. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say for a whole heap of reasons. Whether it's that I'm Jewish and seeing Nazis just running around for fun, or that we are women. And all of these things that we grew up with, whether it's your mother or your grandmother telling you terrifying stories, it's all coming back. And you really just look and go, I'm sorry, what? And so what I feel like you've done with this movie is you sort of just let everybody get their anger out. You also, my friend Avital is in your film, playing kind of the perfect policewoman role, saying everything, again, every single thing that we're all thinking. That's very much what this felt like. Is that what it felt like for you guys, that you just went, I'm going to say everything I need to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we made this film so fast. So, you know, Roe versus Wade was overturned June 24th, it was a Friday. The next Friday, we were on a Zoom call discussing how we could use our creativity and our art to do something and to say something and to do that together and support each other through that. Within the next week, all the scripts were written. and rewritten. So what that basically means is all the words that are that you see set on screen now, a year after Roe versus Wade is overturned, were written 2 weeks after Roe versus Wade. So it's very raw. It's very unrefined and it's very real. And if we had had even another month that we spent working on it, we would have refined things and changed things. And it probably would have been, you know, a little more watered down as a result, or, you know, maybe the special effects would have been better. But, you know, I think what you get instead is something that's very visceral and very real.
Yeah. Infuriating is a big, I'd use that word, because again, it feels like this must be a joke, you know, and that's part of it, is so many of these pieces, these shorts that have been brought together, are things that you say to each other as a joke. Haha, this is ridiculous. Oh no, it's real life. What is going on? And as I say, it just feels like we're living in the Twilight Zone. And that's what's interesting about how each person chose to do their short, their piece of this, is that some of it is meant to feel like it's just real, like this is a day you're walking along and this happens. Other bits are more sort of out there and crazy, but you very much feel the passion and the frustration, and the shock and everything else that I think, I would hope, a lot of people are feeling right now. Because if you don't feel that, I'm worried about you as a human being.
It's hard. There are a lot of things to feel. And over a long period of time, you know, we have to protect ourselves too. So, you know, we can't just walk around angry and mad and sad. And so it's really difficult. We need to like sort of find different ways of processing, and film and art has always been a way to do that. And so, you know, for the creators, there's a lot of processing in each piece. And then hopefully for an audience, there's a lot of processing, and, you know, it can, you know, it's hard to stay angry because we have to also,
you can't function like that.
Function. Yeah. So it is really, you know, we have to go back and forth and find the right spaces to be able to process. And I think, you know, art is one of those spaces.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's where you can take anger. And I think in our case, in the filmmaker's case, was turning that anger into determination, mm-hmm. you know, saying we can't do anything politically right now, but we do have these tools and we do have these friends and collaborators who can help us if we work together to create a movement and create a piece that shows all the different ways people are processing and grieving this horrific overturning of Roe v. Wade.
Yeah. Well, Molly, you've been working since you were a kid. You know, you've been in this industry for such a long time. You're a young woman who's been doing this a very long time already. So if somebody says, oh, you've had a long career. No, actually you have had a long career, which is crazy. But, you know, even that, experiencing the changes of how you're addressed, you know, if you are a pretty young actress, generally that's not always the greatest place to be, which is strange to say. Right. But people who don't know you may not know how smart you are or may not care. Mm-hmm. And that's the other piece of it, is obviously getting together with folks like this and sort of going, no, let's show them, you know, what we're capable of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, knowing Tasha and Jennifer, just the two other women that are here, I am so grateful to be surrounded, and you too, Jesse, I'm so grateful to be surrounded by smart, independent thinking women. You know, those are not the type of women I was brought up around, unfortunately, but I knew you unicorns existed and I wanted to be around you guys. And I'm so grateful that I find myself in a place to just be part of the discussion and be part of lifting up other filmmakers that really have something to say, mm-hmm. and being able to help them bring that to life. One thing about, like you said, being lucky enough to continue to be an actor and to have started at a young age was, you know, I love being on set. That's, you know, it's the best thing in the world. It's a mini city large city. And I was always comfortable, and I didn't think too much about it in the early stages of my career, because sets kind of felt like just being in the world. It felt predominantly male, predominantly white, but I felt cared for. I didn't feel more marginalized than I did walking around. And seeing that change over time, seeing more women in crews, seeing more women directing, writing, and women of color and men of color as well. That's been awesome. But I got to experience this real gem when I stepped on the set of Plan C, which was, it was predominantly female.
Mm.
And I did notice it. I had never really noticed it before.
Of course, like, yeah.
I was kind of living in the world. But man, did that feel good.
Yeah.
It felt really good to be with women and be telling a story that in this stage is affecting women. But it's also very important for me to say that, you know, this is a right to privacy issue. And sure, they may be attacking people with uteruses now, but this is just the beginning. It's people in power wanting to be in power and be at that 1%. Mm-hmm. They will take that privacy away from everyone eventually if we don't stop it now.
Yeah.
So for people that think this doesn't affect them, you're right. In this very small moment, it doesn't necessarily affect you, but it will. So take care of us so we can all take care of each other.
No, it's the truth, isn't it? It just is. And Jennifer, you're so good in Peacemaker, and it's talk about like being. I realize that's not this, but
oh, thank you.
You're a badass. You know.
Oh, thank you.
And what a cool thing to be a part of a show that's so popular with so many incredible people in it. And while you are, I would gather a somewhat petite human being, you get to be this force.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that James, who wrote it and directed a lot of the episodes, is, I think, in his work really good at doing is really just the one thing that I find when I see a lot of female roles, or at least in it's changing a lot now, but in you know, my career, you know, from the time that I started acting when I was 17 until, you know, very, very recently, is that women oftentimes in scripts never really seem like full characters, you know, didn't seem to have as much depth and complexity as male characters. And I inquired in some situations about why that was. And I would hear some male writers say, I just don't know how to write women. I don't know how to write women. And I was always like, just write a male, male character and put a female's name in front of it, and it's going to be just like a woman. Like, we're not that different. We're all human beings. We're not
change
that different.
Steve to Susan. You'll get it. It's not that bad.
and this one thing that I really think that James has been pretty awesome at, and you know, I think it's a way in for me to talk about something that I haven't really discussed with any of these interviews, but you know, not to talk too much about men in a situation where it's a conversation very much about women, but men are very important to this conversation. They have a very specific and very, very important role in helping us fight this fight. And they were important to a lot of different areas of making this film. And there's a lot of men that we couldn't have made this film without them. And so, you know, I'm very, very appreciative of those men who step up and who help us fight the fight that's very important, and who see this as their issue just as much as our issue.
Well, it's human. It goes back to it's human. And if someone is being disrespected and that doesn't bother you, that's a problem. And this is just a universal thing. Now, some of you're talking about, you know, James Gunn, he is fantastic at that. Because he seems to really enjoy just writing great roles, and he has fun. I mean, I think the thing that you could probably describe him is fun. He loves this. He loves what he's doing. And that's what makes his films and shows and everything else such a delight, because he cares deeply. And as you say, I mean, having those people, look, I'm lucky. My dad is a feminist. My dad is someone who has always said, I mean, in my household, if you ask who the boss is, he'll tell you it's my mother very proudly. And, you know, it's like there are people like that. And then there's the other ones. And if we can sort of politely help the other ones understand, you know, maybe not politely at times, you know, it's the best thing for everybody. So Molly, did you know the director that you worked with? And same for Jennifer. Did you know the directors that you worked with ahead of time, or did you just read, hear about it and want to get involved?
Jen, why don't you go first?
I did know Bonnie DiCepolo, who's the director of DTF. We're very close friends. We've known each other for a very long time. And you know, we've been through a lot together. And so when she called on me to take part in this project, I was really just grateful to be given the opportunity to take part in it. You know, I wasn't a person who came to Natasha and said, I have to do something. How can I help you? She was on her warpath to make this thing. And I was just fortunate enough to be called on to be a part of it. So that's kind of my role in it. And yeah, I did know Bonnie and I was very excited. She's got a unique voice, and tonally she's you know, very, very interesting, and she has a wry sense of humor, and she commands a set, and she's a professional, and it was just so awesome to be working with her. I was very excited in general just to be working with her, but then to be able to be working with her on this project, which was also meaningful for so many other reasons, was really a special experience. And you know, kudos to Natasha for bringing Bonnie, who's a great filmmaker, onto the project, and bringing all of these filmmakers onto the project. That was all Natasha just bringing these people together and making this thing happen.
It really is a community. I wouldn't have known Bonnie without knowing Jennifer, you know, so Jennifer always spoke so highly of Bonnie's work. And then it turned out she was also a fantastic human being, not shocking. So yeah, it, you know, it really is a community that made this come together from all the different angles. You know, everyone brought everyone in for, you know, not even intentionally and or knowingly, you know, like Bonnie wouldn't have been a part of it without Jennifer existing. So.
Yeah. I didn't know Megan Rosati yet, but I knew Tasha, and Tasha emailed me, and I was pretty much just on board before even reading the segment, because I was just so grateful to be called upon, yeah, to be able to do something active with all these pent up emotions.
Yeah.
And then I read Plan C and really enjoyed it. Megan was very communicative even before I got to set, which I, you know, is always a great thing. Yeah. And then basically, I think one of the first things I said to her when I got to set and I saw just the white vast blankness that we were going to be shooting on, I said, you've seen To Die For? And she was like, yes. And I went, yes. And she went, yes. And so we were just on the same page tonally with what we wanted to accomplish. And that made, I mean, Jesse, we had like 5.5 hours ish to do that 3-page monologue. So being able to very quickly get on the same page, was a lifesaver. So yes, I loved how Megan communicated, and I hope I get to work with her again on something. I think she's incredibly talented.
I have never thought about you in the film To Die For, but now I very much want that.
I do too.
let's put that out there. I'm not much for remakes, but I have, if that would be kind of magical if we could do that, please. Oh man, well, you guys, you've done such a beautiful job, and it's, I think it all translates really, really well. I think that it's not going to be for everybody. It's a difficult thing to watch because it brings up all of these emotions. But at the same time, I have a vision in my head of sort of taking everyone to Alamo Drafthouse, everybody drinking and watching this and just yelling and feeling a real release. Yeah. you know, and that
I'd love
is
to do a screening that we, where we start off and say, like, you want to yell and scream any point, please do it.
Yeah.
Do it. I do feel like sometimes, you know, oh, you need permission to do something like that. And I feel like the place where there are a lot of points in this film where I want to yell and scream.
That's a great idea. We should do some rowdy screenings.
You should. Absolutely have rowdy screenings and just say, for everybody that needs to let all of this out, come sit surrounded by people who feel the exact same way. And watch all of this. I say, bravo, you guys, you did a beautiful job. And I'm excited for you that now it gets out into the world, because as we know, anytime you make a movie of any kind or a show, it doesn't always see the light of day. And that's a lot of effort on its own. That's why we always say every movie is a miracle, but you've got it and it's here, and you get to share it with everybody. So as I said, beautiful job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right.
Yeah. We do hope that, like, when it gets out there, it's not just about, you know, changing people's minds, but something that we just touched on is just supporting each other,
absolutely,
you know, for each other, protect each other, protect women, protect everyone. Let's go do it. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your time.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.